All right, we'll see if this works. And then at on Sunday evenings, I want us to look at our faith for these 5 weeks. Down here. It seems like everywhere you go, everybody gets there early and they sit in the back. And, you know, you have to speak over about 30 feet of no man's land. And come down here and see you. I want to talk on Sunday night about our faith. I want us to take a look at our faith. This morning we talked about beginning again. And some brother came to me and said he lived 35 years before he realized he needs to start all over again. And many of us are just like that. We realize that we had wasted so many years if we had only known. I was 21 years old when I realized that I messed it up so much. I was an awful sinner. I needed to start all over again. And it's wonderful that God gives us that opportunity. We start all over again. We begin again with a new birth. And you know people everywhere. And their problem is they need to start all over again. This time, you need to go back to the beginning and start with God where they're supposed to start. And that's what we want to talk a little bit more about tonight. And this idea of faith. I'll try the best I can to speak up. As a matter of fact, I prefer to have a microphone on a stand rather than on my lapel, just the way I speak. Sometimes I get a little excited, and the people with the headphones over there, they get their ears blown out, because I can't step away from it. But, if you cannot hear me, if I move, just raise your hand, I'll know I need to speak louder, okay? Because I want you to hear, and I want you to think about your faith. And, how can we measure faith? Is your faith okay? Is your faith doing good these days? Is your faith greater today than it was the first day you believed? Or the first day you took it out of the box and it was brand new? Or is it kind of worn and tattered? Is it smaller? When I was a child, we used to lean up against the casement on the basement door, and my mother would mark with a ruler our height. And we would come back about 3 or 4 months later and stand up as tall as we could. And we see we're growing. It'd be terrible if the mark was always the same place. That would be a big disappointment. But it wasn't. We were always growing. And I believe that people come into a place in their spiritual life where they just stop growing. And that's tragic. And I'm glad that you're back tonight, and I want to challenge you to grow. In this next month. And so mark where you are. And if you can just learn one thing tonight, we can all share one thing, that'll help us all to grow. And then maybe next week, only one thing out of the whole day, and we'll grow. I'd like for us to look at the New Testament as a New Testament survey, because this book is a book of faith for faith. Somebody said, Ingemar, you seem to have a lot of faith. Well, you can get faith the same place I got faith. It's not a secret. There's only one place you can get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every single person has access to the reservoir of faith, God's Word. And because we don't avail ourselves of that great privilege, some never come to faith. Some seem to stagnate or shrivel. And that should not be so. God wants us to grow in faith. What is faith? How do you measure it? How can you tell if you're doing okay? Well, here's what I'd like for us to think about tonight. The New Testament is a book of faith. The book of the Gospels are the tales of faith. The book of Acts are the trails of faith. The epistles are the trials of faith. The book of Romans are the truths of faith. And the book of Revelation is the triumph of faith. It's a book of faith. And you and I, as we open up this precious book of faith, we can grow in faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to please God. And I think you do too. And so that's why faith is so very, very important. Turn with me to, first of all, Matthew chapter 1. As I said, the Gospels are the tales of faith. They are stories of how men and women had a personal encounter with God by faith. And so when I ask you, how's your faith doing? I want you to think about that. These are stories about how men and women had a personal encounter with God. And we call that faith. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, I'll read, you follow along. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now what is faith? Just exactly what is it? Can you measure it? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if I can't see it, how do I know I have it? How do you know you have it? What is faith? Luke chapter 1, and verse 35, I'll start reading. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month of her, who is called barren. That was verse 37. O God, nothing shall be impossible. Now if you go down to the bookstore downtown and go into the self-help section, you'll notice that it is filled with books that tell you if you just have enough faith, you can do anything. There is an industry of positive thinking that tells you that if you just have enough faith, you can do anything. The drive, the desire, the faith in yourself that you can do anything. Well, you know and I know that that is false. That's not faith. That's fantasy. Look at the Bible definition of faith, would you please? Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, the world says nothing shall be impossible. But they leave something out. They leave out the most important element in the equation. It doesn't say nothing shall be impossible or nothing is impossible. What it says is, with God, nothing is impossible. And here I get excited excited because here's a great truth. I want to shout out, Eureka, I found it. This is the answer. This is the solution. And when people need to find faith, they need to find faith in God. For with God, nothing is impossible. The Bible doesn't call us to have faith in faith. The Bible calls us to have faith in God, in Him. There are some companies that have secret formulas and they guard them carefully and they lock them in safe so that nobody steals the recipe. The most important ingredient in this equation is not me, not you. It's God with you. You see, Mary was told by the angel that when this one would come, this holy thing that shall be born in thee, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means what? God with us. God with us. Great. Listen to me. That's it. Sunday night, education. Pardon me if I get a little excited. Grace is God with us. That's why a person can't be saved without grace. Grace is God with us. Grace is God wanting to be with us. Emmanuel, you explain that. Except that somehow in the deep recesses of an almighty God's wisdom and power, he has chosen to step out of eternity into time, out of heaven and into our lives, and that is nothing but grace. You follow me? God wants to be with you? How do you explain that? Amazing grace. Right? Grace is God wanting to be with us. Faith is us wanting to be with God. With God, nothing is impossible. That's faith. Take God out of the equation, and you just have a pipe dream. You just have wishful thinking. You just have positive thinking. You just have possibility thinking. But put God back in the place where he belongs, as God, not making him anything less. And suddenly you have faith. And now nothing is impossible with God. This is a very, very important principle. Because it's not you. It's not me, but it's God with you, and God with me, and that's what it's all about. And the story of your Christian experience, your tale of faith, is the story of how you came to be with God after he came to be with you. 2,000 years ago, God Almighty stepped into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. He came to be with us. Now, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that, hello, believe on his name. And your tale of faith is a story of how you came to be with him after he came to be with you. What you do with the Word of God decides everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He dwelt among us. He came unto His own, the Word of God, incarnate. And the New Testament, and especially the Gospels, are the tales of what happened when people stood face to face with the Word of God. Some rejected. Some denied. Some became angry and indignant. Some became wroth. Some bowed down and worshipped. Some believed. Some embraced. Some followed. Your story will be determined by what you do when you are confronted face to face with the Word of God. Do you see that as a story in the Gospels? The woman of Sychar has an encounter with one who's so different than everyone else. She's thinking of temporal water. He's thinking of eternal. Drink this water, he says, and you will thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. Captured her imagination and lifted her eyes higher than herself. And she said, give me this water, that I may drink it, and I don't have to come here anymore and draw. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You spoke correctly. You've had many husbands, five, and the one that you're with now, living, he's not even your husband. Suddenly she is revealed, she's exposed for what she is. I perceive that thou art a prophet. She wants to launch into a conversation about theological questions. Our fathers say we should worship on this mountain, Gerizim. But your people say worship on this mountain, Moriah. By the way, which is the right church? Madam, the day is coming when men will worship neither on that mountain or this mountain. But they that worship the Father will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The world is divided in two today. One group saying, this mountain. And another group saying, no, that mountain. And we say, no mountain. Since Calvary, we bow our hearts and our heads wherever we are. And by the virtue of the finished and complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, we have direct access to the Almighty. That's faith. The question is, what will you do when you are confronted with the Word of God? If you were sitting by the well at Sychar and the Lord Jesus came and encountered you, how would the story end? You are confronted with the Word of God every Sunday morning. What you do after having encountered the Word of God determines everything. How you responded last Sunday, how you responded this Sunday, how you will respond next Sunday to the Word of God will determine the outcome of your tale of faith, of your story. Talk of Abraham as being the father of the Hebrew nation, the father of faith, one who had nothing to show for his encounter with the Lord except a promise. He held on to that promise. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And my Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham, get thee up out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and make thy name great. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He's doing pretty good right there. He believed God. The Bible says God counted that to him for righteousness. You can walk down any modern street in Jerusalem today. Stop anyone. And ask them, have you heard of Abraham? And they would say, sure. Everybody's heard of Abraham. Everybody's heard of Abraham. The Christians have heard of Abraham. The Jews have heard of Abraham. The Islamic people have heard of Abraham. Everybody in all the world have heard of Abraham. And that story was determined by what he did with the Word of God. My Bible says that Abraham believed God. Get thee up out of thy country. That was God's word for Abraham. What did he do? Get thee up out of thy country, out of Ur of the Chaldees. What did he do? He did. If he didn't, you would walk through the streets of modern Jerusalem today and say, have you heard of Abraham? And people would say, who? You know Abraham. You know who's talking about? No, you know, no, you never heard. Everybody's heard of Abraham because one day he had an encounter with the Word of God, he believed it, and he did. And countless times we hear the Word of God on Sunday or on Monday or on Wednesday, and God speaks to us as clearly as he spoke to Abraham. And he says, get thee up out of this, or get thee up out of that, and do this, and go there, and do the other thing. It's clear. You say, well, can I get back to you on that?
Can I think about it a little while, please?
I want you to realize that your life is a tale of faith that is determined and written simply by your response to what you do with the Word of God. Matthew chapter 2. Take a look at verse 7. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, let's go back up so we can pick it up and it makes sense. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. And how did they know that? Word of God. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The Word of God. They had one word, Bethlehem, and it was God's word. And they believed it, and they set out to Bethlehem. Verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. All right, he's got that much right. And remember now, everything depends on what you do with the Word of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? All right, that's the first step. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, look at it, look at it. Bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Bring me word what? Again. There's no guarantee that once God gives us his word, he's going to give it to us again and again and again and again until we decide we just might obey or believe it. Herod said, you go, and then you bring me word again.
God has been very patient with us. Sometimes we heard the truth and we didn't respond like we should, and God is gracious and he gives it to us again. Doesn't have to, but he does. And some are here tonight because God in his graciousness gave you another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. Give me word. Send me word again. Herod. Now God knows the hearts of men. He knows what you're going to do with the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Lord knew what Herod wanted to do with the one we call the word. He wanted to not worship him also. He wanted to destroy him. Take a look at verse 13, speaking of Joseph. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Two different men, two different destinies, both hinging on what they do with the word of God. Joseph, hearing the word, took Mary by faith. And then he took her out of Bethlehem with the babe, and he fled to Egypt by the word of God. And he waited in Egypt by the word of God. And he waited there until he received the word of God. Wait there until I send thee word. Two men and two destinies, determined by what they do with the word of God. What are you? And what am I going to do with the word of God? Matthew chapter 8. Oh boy. We're talking about faith. How's your faith these days? Is your faith growing? You know, I'm shorter today than I was 15 years ago. It really bothers me. I was short to start up with. And I understand as you get older, you shrink. Now, aging, maybe that doesn't happen to you. You got some inches there. Nobody would notice. But when you start out and you're 5'7½", that half means a lot. And the older you get, you start to shrink. I don't want my face to shrink as I grow older. And I think that some people who have been in Christ for 40, 50, 60 years, they kind of pare back on their expectations. They kind of somehow think that God is limited in their life because now they're older. And I would suggest to you that that's not the case. It's not you. It's God with you. That's faith. And when the Lord measured faith in Israel, the example he used of the greatest faith was not even an Israelite. It was a centurion, one who wanted Jesus to come and heal his sick servant, verse 6. Lord, my servant lieth at home sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. It's hard to impress God. He's seen everything. You know, you're not gonna impress God. You know, we think that we're gonna impress God by the way we do things. You're not gonna impress God. But here's somebody that he impressed God. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I said that faith is what we do with the word of God. And this man said, I'm a man under authority. I say to my servant, go, and he does what he goes. And I say to my servant, come, and he comes. And I recognize authority when I see it, and you have authority. You don't even have to come to my house. You just speak the word. The Bible says the Lord Jesus marveled because he understood the power and the place of faith in our lives. Abraham understood it as well. When he started out, now our world is lost in a battle because he began to question God's word and thought he could somehow work it out. And Hagar was to be the solution and the answer. And now it's the problem. Abraham, all those years, waited and trusted, and finally he gave in. Faith is in what we do with God's word. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. What's your story going to be like if the Lord tarries and the world doesn't blow up in the next few months and you get to see your children and your grandchildren bounce on your knee? Personally, even so, come Lord Jesus, tonight will be a good night. But he might want us to be here. And the world might be very different than it is tonight. But what will your story be? It will be a story that's determined by what you do with the Word of God. Emmanuel, God with us. Grace, God wanting to be with us. Faith, us wanting to be with God. But with God, nothing is impossible. In I'm sorry. I need to look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. That is giving me a brand new Bible. You know how that is. It looks very different. Luke chapter 5, and the story of Simon Peter fishing. He toiled all night, and he caught nothing. Verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The story had a wonderful ending because of what Simon did with the word of God. It went against every bit of his experience or his reason. And he came to the place where he said, well, I tried that, it didn't work, but nevertheless, at thy word. Your story, your tale of faith, is determined by what you will do when you come face to face with the word of God. What would happen if men and women, young and old, stopped making excuses? Lord, you know, I've been doing this for years, and I sure am tired. What is God's word for you when you are confronted with the word of God? You need to say, as Simon said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net. One more verse, and then we'll close. John chapter 15. And this is like the little warning that they put on the little packages. A little disclaimer. Luke chapter 15. There I go again. I'll have to talk to Yvette and ask what I did with that other Bible. I'm in the wrong place, and I ask you to forgive me. It's in John chapter 15. And it's important. I want you to see this. Flip over another book to John. And here's the proviso. Here is the warning. Here's the disclaimer. Verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
With me, nothing is impossible. Without me, no. You say, oh no, but look at all the things we did. We worked so hard, we built, we did. You did it without me. It doesn't count. And when it's all added up, when it's all over, it counts for nothing. Because it was not done by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so the choice is ours. Talk about the world being divided in two. It is. Those with faith, the real faith, in Jesus Christ. And those without faith, without Jesus Christ. Those with faith understand that with God, nothing is impossible. Those without Christ will one day find out that they are left with nothing. Folks, we stand facing the future. We've had a good past. The question is, what are we going to do
with this word. Let's believe it. Let's obey it. Let's proclaim it. Let's share it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Father, thank you for everyone that's come tonight on this Sunday night. Thank you for each one who has allowed you to touch them. For those that have responded to the word by faith, believing it, obeying it, following it. I pray that here in this room tonight is someone who begins a new chapter in a great and wonderful story, a story of what you can do with them, what you can do with me, what you can do with us. I pray, Lord, that we would be men and women of faith. I pray if there's someone here tonight who simply has faith in faith, and help them to turn from that and turn to Christ, placing their faith in the only one that can save. And then, Lord, use us as an instrument of thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.